Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We're in the fourth Pasuk. We've been discussing the great value of Ratzon. And we've explored different avenues of where Ratzon makes a huge difference. We spoke about Zerizut, about a person finding more energy because of his Ratzon. Spoke about the engine that generates energy. We spoke how Ratzon makes people satisfied with less in less important areas of life because of the Ratzon for greater things. We spoke about how Ratzon gives a person physical strength that they don't otherwise have. We spoke about how Ratzon gives emotional strength, dealing with challenges and difficulties. Ratzon gives the person the ability to stay strong. We spoke about Ratzon giving a person the ability to convince others. It gives a person a certain wisdom, a certain kind of chokhmah that they would not have been able to receive. But Ratzon somehow makes that happen. One of the examples to that is the Gemara in Masechet Berachot. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, En HaKadosh Baruch Hu Noten Chokmah Ela Lemi Sheyesh Bo Chokmah. Gemara says, Hashem doesn't give wisdom. He doesn't give you good advice unless you already have wisdom. Hashem only gives wisdom to those who have wisdom. And the Gemara brings a pasuk. It says, Ya'ev chokhmata lahakimim, that Hashem gives wisdom to those who are wise. This Gemara is obviously very difficult to understand. What do you mean? Hashem gives wisdom to those who are wise. If they're wise, they don't need wisdom. And how do they become wise altogether? If Hashem only gives wisdom to those who are wise, so when they weren't wise, how'd they get it? But it's an open Gemara. It's an open Pasuk. And like we mentioned yesterday, when it says Hashem gives wisdom to those who are hachamim, we're talking about the person who is a hacham beratzon, a person who's a potential hacham, is already called a hacham. Once you have a ratzon to do something and it's strong, it's as if you already got it, because you're for sure on your way to receiving what you want, as we've been learning. So once a person really wants ratzon, wants wisdom, once you really want wisdom, you really want to understand the wisdom of life, you want to understand the Torah, you want to understand all the chokhmah that's available, Hashem's wisdom. Once you want that wisdom to be part of your mind, imagine having the database of wisdom like Hashem has. Once a person desires wisdom and has a ratzon for it, he's already called a wise person, even though he didn't learn yet, because he's for sure going to get it. And that's why, says the pasuk, you know who Hashem gives his wisdom to? Because really, Hashem's wisdom is beyond human capability. That's why it says in the Gemara, if a person tells you, I toiled in Torah, and I found it. Yagata umatzata. If you toil in Torah, umatzata, and you find it, ta'amim, believe it. That's the way it works. Guy tells you, I toiled in Torah. but I came up short. I didn't find it. Don't believe him. A guy tells you, I didn't toil, but I found it. I know a lot of Torah. I don't work so hard, but it comes easy to me. I'm very smart. Guy can be very smart. He didn't have to work so hard. He tells you, I didn't work so hard, but I have a lot of the wisdom of the Torah. Says the Gemara, don't believe him. Don't believe him if he says he didn't work and he got it. And don't believe him when he says he worked and he didn't get it. Don't believe him. What are they saying? They're saying something very simple. They're saying something very logical. That the wisdom of the Creator is beyond human capacity. And if someone has a hard time believing that, then he's really, really ignorant. To imagine that we humans, this little brain that God gave us, a few, I don't know what the weight of a brain is, very light, a piece of meat, that it could hold all the wisdom of the Creator, you have to be out of your mind to think that your mind can hold what the Creator holds. So nobody should be surprised if we tell him that the Creator's wisdom is beyond human capability. That's the reality. And that's why it says if you toil, means you want it. How do you know if a guy wants something? When we talk about that son here, we don't talk about a guy just say, I want it. That means, you see, he's working, he's sweating. Some people, they sit down and learn. You see all the energy in their learning. They're writing, they're reviewing. It means something to them. Why does the Gemara say, if you toil, you'll find? Seemingly, the word find doesn't fit by a person who toils. When you find something, you usually are not looking for it. So you didn't toil for it. It just happened. When was the last time you found something that you toiled for? Finding things, you don't toil. But here it says, when it comes to the wisdom of Hashem, when it comes to the Torah, it says, if you toil, then you'll find it. But that doesn't make sense. It should have said, if you toil, you'll acquire it. But the answer to this question is what we said before. That the wisdom of Hashem is beyond human capacity. To understand the wisdom of the Creator in clarity, with clarity, with an understanding of where it applies, to see things from A to B to C, to understand the long-term effects, the short-term effects, to see the small picture and the big picture, to be able to understand people, to be able to understand yourself, to be able to understand your children, to be able to understand your situation, to be able to assess what's going on. Yesterday, somebody told me they need help. What's the problem? He said somebody told them something this week that bothered them very much and they can't get over it. What happened? He said that a few of his friends called him on Sunday to apologize, that they spoke Lashon Hara about him, and they want to apologize to him before Rosh Hashanah.
Wow.
He said, I told them I forgive them. He said, but I can't believe that these two guys, they're my best friends.
Spoke about me.
And they spoke Lashon Hara about me. And he says, for the last 2 days, I don't feel good. I feel like I'm upset with them, but I don't want to be upset.
The who friend
is I feel terrible, and I don't want to feel like this. But I can't let go. So I told him that it's not strength that you need. You're lacking wisdom. You're looking for the strength to take a heavy package that's sitting in your heart and throw it in the garbage. He's looking for muscle, but you don't need muscle. I said you need wisdom. I told him, why did they say something about you? So he told me why. He did something that, let's say, was he upgraded his life. And certain things that he did with them, he told them he's not going to do anymore. So they got all upset and they started talking about him. So I told them that if you're a wise person, you wouldn't even have the feeling. I said, why would they speak about you in that situation? I said, because you upset them. He said, I upset them? I didn't say anything to them. I just told them, I'm no longer going to be doing A with you. I said, but you have to understand that people who don't have wisdom, like your friends, when they see that you're doing something better, they feel attacked. You basically told them that they're no good. That's the way they understand it. And when you tell them they're no good, then they're trying to defend themselves, to fight back, and make you look no good. I said, they don't mean to hurt you. They were just defending their own honor from their perspective. That's the way they understand things. I said, you have to feel bad for them. What are you getting upset with them? Feel bad that their ignorance leads them to feel attacked by your growth. You're getting upset with them? You're going down to their level to stoop down to their ignorance? I said, if you understand why they said the words, then you wouldn't be upset with them. Here's a guy trying to lift the bad feelings and throw it in the sanitation. And meanwhile, there's nothing to lift. If he had a little wisdom, he'd understand there's nothing to feel bad about. You have to pray for them. It's not personal. They're not trying to hurt you. They're not well, that's all. So many of life situations are translated with wisdom in a much more correct manner. If people lived with wisdom, they would never be upset with each other. I can tell you 99.9% of issues, if you have wisdom, you would never be upset. Not that you would be able to be mitgaber on your anger and you'll be so strong. You wouldn't even have it. Because you understand what's going on. So if you have wisdom, it's able to stay with you in every life conversation, every life situation. Wisdom is used every moment of life. When you're by yourself, when you're with people, when you have good times, when you have difficult times. The wisdom of Hashem is every moment to be able to translate what people are saying, to be able to translate what people are doing, to be able to translate what you just said, to be able to understand what you just did, to understand why you feel the way you feel, to understand what the next step is. Wisdom is endless. It's every moment of life. It's understanding everyone and everything and knowing what to do as a result. There's no way a human has the capability of having God's wisdom. And you see it all around. All around you see people making mistakes left and right. People don't talk to each other. Families are fighting. Brothers have issues. Well, sometimes it's in the open. Sometimes people have all kinds of kavod issues, all kinds of honor issues. People have all kinds of anger. People have all kinds of... All around us. That's called a lack of wisdom. They don't have the wisdom of the Creator. If they had wisdom, they would see a whole different world. There are people right now that see a gloomy world. If they had wisdom, they'd see a world that's bright. They're lacking wisdom. People around us, we see in ourselves as well that we lack chokhmah. And it makes sense, because who is capable of getting God's wisdom? Nobody. Not a human. But that's why the Gemara says, Yagata, if you toil. Toil means you really want it. Yagata means you're exhausted from trying to understand God's wisdom. Matzata. Matzata doesn't mean you're going to acquire it like you acquire a book when you go buy. You give $20, you acquire a book, because the book is worth $20. You go buy a suit for $200, you give them $200, you get a suit back. You acquired the suit with $200. You gave them $200, you got $200 back. But when it comes to wisdom of the Creator, it's not like that. No matter how much you toil, you don't have enough toil to afford what the Creator's wisdom is valued at. There isn't enough time, there isn't enough energy, and there isn't enough money that you could spend as a human being to be able to get in return God's wisdom. It's priceless, and it has no ability to reach you in a normal human interaction. God's wisdom doesn't just come to you. It doesn't work. That's why the Gemara says, Yagata, but if you toil, if you really want it, Matzata, you're going to find it. Or then you're going to find it. It means that God's going to give it to you as a gift. It's not something you're able to earn for yourself. God will give it to you like it's a lost object, and Hashem gave it to you without you having to work. Just like when you have a lost object, someone gave it to you. Someone left it there for you. God left it there for you. So too, the wisdom of the Creator is a metziah, meaning it's not something you can earn, because even if you work all that you want, you don't earn it. Hashem says, umatzata, but I want to give it to you. It's a miracle that Hashem will do for you to make it available to you. And that's why if someone tells you, me, it's easy. I'm a wise person. I don't have to work so hard. I'm very smart. Very smart. Don't believe him, because there's no human that's smart enough to be able to get God's wisdom. It's impossible. I don't care how smart you are. You may be able to read a Gemara. You may be able to read a Tosfot. You may be able to read a Pasuk. Yeah, you can read. But it doesn't mean you live with wisdom. It doesn't mean you're able to see life with the wisdom of the Creator. Don't believe him. He's putting on an app. He knows how to impress you by quoting Pesukim and by quoting Gemarot and by going through a question-answer session of the Rishonim. But he doesn't live with wisdom. Don't believe him. A guy tells you, I worked hard. Right? I can't do it. Don't believe him. Because there's no such thing as a guy wants something and he works and he works and Hashem won't give it to him. That's why the Gemara says that Hashem only gives his wisdom to those who are desiring of his wisdom. Because the Ratzon for wisdom makes you now able. It turns on a certain engine in your mind that's capable to receive the wisdom of God. There is no other way to get it. That's why it says, Gemara says, Masechet Eruvin, listen to this Gemara. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Am Yisrael, Lo b'shamayim hi. The Torah is not in heaven. Comes the Gemara and says, what does that mean it's not in heaven? What are you trying to say? Lo b'shamayim hi. She'im b'shamayimi, because if it would be in heaven, ata tzarich la'alot ahareha, you'd have to go up to Shamayim to get it. Almost like it's a real thing. The next one is, and it's not across the sea. Gemara says, ata tzarich la'avor, you would have to cross the sea to get it. Moshe Rabbeinu was basically saying, it's not so hard. It's right there, come on. You just gotta work, you gotta toil. You don't have to go overseas. That would be a lot of work. You don't have to go to Shamayim. Now, to say that it's not overseas, and therefore you don't have to travel to get it, that makes sense. You could tell people that. Tell someone, listen, it's not so hard. You don't have to go travel the world for it. Because it's possible to travel the world. It's possible to travel the world. It's hard. It takes a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of money. But it's possible. So tell a guy, you don't have to travel the world to learn God's wisdom. That makes sense. But tell a guy, you know, you don't have to go to heaven to learn God's wisdom. It makes no sense. Because you can't go to heaven even if you wanted to. What kind of statement is that? Moshe Rabbeinu says it's not across the seas. And it's not in heaven. And the Gemara makes it like it's a real thing. It's not in heaven. Because if it was in heaven, she'im b'shamayim, because what would happen if it was in heaven? You would have to go up to get it. What? How can a human go to heaven to get it? What does that mean? It's not possible to go to heaven. It's not even an option. It's not even a mashal. But the answer to this question is the answer to all the questions we've been learning. From this Gemara, you see an unbelievable thing. That if a person had the ratzon really, really, to go to heaven, he'll go to heaven. Come on, what does that mean? I don't know. I don't know, like I don't understand all the things that we've been learning. But I do know clearly in life that with the engine of ratzon, everything changes. And this is another one of them. If the Torah would be in heaven and you would really want it, somehow you'll get to heaven. Somehow you'll figure it out. You'll get in a space, you'll make a spaceship, you'll figure out how to get to where it is. Because if you really want something, then you have new powers to receive it. That's the way of wisdom. Hashem gives wisdom that's impossible to understand. His wisdom to those who are already wise people. How they become wise? Because they want it. You know, one of the great rabbis says, the great Mashgiach of the Mir, Rabbi Yerucham says, he says, Im tistakel, look at these words. He says in his book, Da Torah, Im tistakel ba'adire olam. He says, if you will look at the wealthy people of this world, he calls them, Kol ha'ashirim ha'gidolim. He calls them the very wealthy men, wealthy people. Hine rubam. He says, the majority of them, he's basically trying to find a common denominator between all wealthy people. They're not all tall, so that's not one. They're not all short, and they're definitely not all smart. That we know. They're not all good looking. The denominator that makes for a wealthy person, pay attention, it's very important, guys. Says the Da Torah, Hine rubam kekulam. He says the majority, the overwhelming majority, he says, ba'u lesi aliyatam, they got to this high level financially. Ki imrak hodot leyuzmatam kabira, because of their tremendous ambition. They had a tremendous ambition to make money. Not everyone has a great ambition to make money. Everyone wishes to make money. That much, yes. But how many people have the ambition, the ratzon, the toil? I'll do anything. I'll work as many hours as needed. Not everyone's got that. Says the Da'at Torah, if you study rich people, you will see one common denominator, that they have a very strong desire to make money. Not everybody, he says, Rubam. He says, Ish haser yuzma, a person lacking ambition, lo yitachen lo b'shum ofen la'alot el al. He's not going to be able to go high. Of course, our job in life is to have ambition for all things that really matter. I'm not sure that we're supposed to live in this world to have ambition to be billionaires and to be from the top wealthy people in life. Could be that we should have ambition to be very big philanthropists, yes. To give out billions of dollars, that should be a dream. But that you should make billions of dollars and leave it in your bank, that doesn't, in the world of wisdom, doesn't equal to a great value. But regardless, if that's what you want, right or wrong, if that's your dream in life, that you should leave this world with a few billion dollars somewhere in Switzerland, then you'll get it. You want it badly enough, you will get it. The Pasuk says, Torat Hashem temima, the Torah of Hashem is complete. Complete. So something that's perfect, only someone who's perfect can hold it. If you're not perfect, you can't hold something that's perfect. Perfect means perfect. So you can't have perfection if you're not perfect. Torah Hashem Temima is perfect. Meshivat Nafesh. Edut Hashem Ne'emana. Again, referring to the Torah. Mahkimat peti. It takes a peti. Peti is a gullible, unintelligent person, and makes them a hacham. How can someone who's a peti become a hacham? That's what we're saying. It's not possible. It's not possible. But with the proper ratzon and the ambition, he will become the Torah. Any wise person you ever met, you have to imagine him as a peti. You have to look at him as a fool. You have to look at him as a gullible, ignorant person. You meet the wisest man in the world, you see this guy. What? Doesn't have any capability. So how does he have the wisdom? Only because he worked hard at it. Nothing else. It's not that he's born wise. He acquired it through toil and ratzon. That's it. The Midrash is discussing why Hashem sent the Makkah of darkness to the Egyptians. So the Midrash says, why did Hashem bring the Makkah of darkness? Hashem has everything figured out. He has all his hashbonot and calculations. Says the Midrash, Hashem is choker lev ubohen kilayot. Hashem knows what is deep inside a person's thoughts and his heart. Lefi she'ayu posh'im be'Yisrael, in the time of the Egyptian slavery, there were, the Midrash calls them posh'im. Posh'im means not such good Jews. שהיה להם פתרונים מן המצרים. They had an exemption from the Egyptians, meaning they figured out a way to get in with the Egyptian, and they let them out from having to be slaves. והיה להם שם עושר וכבוד. There were Jews in Egypt that had tremendous wealth and tremendous honor, and they weren't involved in slavery. ולא היו רוצים לצאת. When a person has עושר וכבוד, you ask him, you want to leave? How many wealthy people today are waiting for Mashiach? Who's waiting for Mashiach? The guy who was sick, lo alenu. The guy who was poor. The guy who was troubled. The guy nobody respects. He's asking, what are you waiting for? Mashiach, Be'ezat Hashem. Guy who has osher and he has kavod. What Mashiach? Let him come after. After I have to build my house first, after I finish my beautiful home, then we'll negotiate. I have some projects now running. When we finish the projects, Mashiach can come. Right now, he would be disturbing. That's the truth. So you have these Jews in Egypt that had osher v'chavod. They had wealth and they had honor. ולא היו רוצים לצאת. משה רבנו is coming to take them out of Egypt. Why do they need to leave Egypt? They're doing great here. Who can blame them? אמר הקדוש ברוך הוא, Hashem says, אם אני אביא עליהם מכה בפרהסיה, if I'm going to bring a מכה on these Jews in the open in front of the Egyptians, וימותו and they'll die, יאמרו המצרים, the Egyptians will say, כשם שעבר עלינו, כך עבר עליהם. Whatever happened to the Egyptians, happens to the Jews too. It'll be a chilul Hashem. The whole message that Hashem wanted to show is that the Egyptian and the Jew are different. Look at how Hashem treats his people. But if they see that the Jews are being treated the same way, they say, what's the difference? That's why, says the Midrash, Hashem brought complete darkness on the Egyptians for 3 days. Kedei sheyu kovrim etehem, that when these Jews die, because they're not getting out of Egypt, that they'll bury their dead without the Egyptian realizing. That's the Midrash. That the makab hoshech was to cover for the Egyptians, for the Jews who didn't want to leave Egypt, that they should be wiped out and the Egyptians won't realize. That's the Midrash. But if you were paying attention to this Midrash, you would see something unbelievable. If someone asked you, how come these Jews didn't leave Egypt? So you'd say, because they're bad people. It says they're called poshim. How come they didn't leave Egypt? Why'd they have to be killed altogether? Why can't they leave? Make teshuvah. Why, every Jew that's a sinner, we put him to death? So if someone would ask you why these people were killed, your only answer would be because they're not good people. And I guess Hashem wanted only the great Jews to leave Egypt. He didn't want to start with mediocre guys. That's what you would answer. Even though, generally speaking, Jews that are not so great, they also get a chance to make teshuvah. But I guess when Hashem started Am Yisrael, he wanted to have only the great ones. That's what you would say. They're called poshim. That's why they didn't leave Egypt. But look at the words of the Midrash. It's unbelievable. Midrash says, "V'haya lahem sham osher v'chavod, v'lo hayu rotzim latzet." You think they didn't leave Egypt because they're bad people? That's not why they didn't leave Egypt. Bad people can leave Egypt too. But they didn't want to leave. And if you don't want to leave, so you're not leaving. Because Hashem is making miracles for you people to get out of this place. It's impossible to leave Egypt in the current circumstance. Hashem will do it for you. He will come and take you out of Egypt. He promised to take you out of Egypt. But you have to want to leave Egypt. Lo hayu rotzim, that says. They didn't want to leave. That's why they could not leave. So all along we always hear, oh, all these people die because they're bad people. That's not why they died. It's not why they died. It's true, they were not good people. But Hashem has room for people who are not that great. It'll give them a chance. Hopefully, they see the miracles. They go out and see Kriyat Yam Suf. They see Matan Torah. Well, they'll change. Well, Hashem doesn't love them. Doesn't want to take care of them. He gave up hope on them. So what happened? What happened is they don't want to go. So the nature of this world is, as we're learning, you want Hashem to help you, you have to want yourself. If you don't want, He can't help you. He's not helping you if you don't want. Ve'lo hayu rotzim lazet. They didn't want to. I mean, if you ask them, do you want to leave? I'm sure they would say yes. You don't think they had emunah? Even the Egyptians had emunah at this point. Even the Egyptians said to Paro, Haterem teda, do you not know already? Ki avda Mitzrayim, that Mitzrayim is gone. Even the Egyptians already believe. You don't think the Jews over there believed in God? You don't think they had emunah? You don't think they saw what the Egyptians saw? That's why the Midrash says that Hashem is hoker lev ubohen klayot. Hashem is able to see deeper than their words. Of course, they were saying, we want to leave. Of course, we want to go. The Geula, like we say every day. Ashta ba'agala v'zman karim. We want Mashiach. We want Him now. We even sing songs. U'shana ba'a v'yushalayim. Beautiful. They say all the words. We even give drashot on those words. But Hashem sees, Hoker Leb, Hashem sees where your heart really is. So while they spoke and they said and they acted, but He knew, Lo ayu rotzim, they didn't want to leave. Listen to this beautiful Ora Chaim HaKadosh. You have to hear this Ora Chaim, it's beautiful. In Parashat Korah. Over there, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was contested by Korah and all the people that came, that they basically accused Moshe Rabbeinu of nepotism, of giving all the jobs to his brother, to himself, to his family. So they accused him of basically using his leadership to promote himself and his family. And people got sold on that. After all, people maybe were jealous. People wanted certain things they didn't have. So, bottom line, there was a big contest. Korach and his people and Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people, I recommend you all stay away from these Reshaim. Don't get close to them because you're going to get swallowed up with them. Vayomer Moshe. Listen to these words. This is before the ground came and swallowed up all those people. Vayomer Moshe, bezot tede'un. Something's going to happen. And with that, you're going to know. Bezot, with the following miracle that's coming soon. They're going to die in the most amazing, wild way. The earth is going to swallow them. Bezot, tede'un, you're going to know ki Adonai shelahani la'asot et kol ha'ma'asim ha'eleh. You're going to know from what you're going to see that God sent me to make all these decisions. Ki lo milibi. It wasn't from my heart. The Or HaHaim HaKadosh asks, what does that mean, ki lo milibi? You just said, with this you will know that God sent me. If God sent you, it's obviously not from you. Why do you have to say, ki lo milibi? It's not from my heart. You already said, I'm going to prove to you, God sent me to do this. God sent you, so it's obviously not from you. Why do you have to add those words? Ki lo milibi. Says the Or HaHaim HaKadosh that Moshe Rabbeinu was suspected of two things. One of two things. They knew that Hashem told them to appoint Aharon. They saw God is helping Aharon. They were not in doubt that God told him to appoint whoever he appointed. That wasn't the battle here. It wasn't that they thought that Moshe, against God's will, decided to appoint A when God told him B. They never thought that. They know Moshe is an Ish Ne'eman. He's not going against God's word. Even Bil'am won't go against God's word. At least externally. They knew Moshe Rabbeinu was not doing his own thing. That was never the battle yet. Yes, God told him to appoint Aharon as the Kohen Gadol. God told him to put it. He told him that. So what was their problem? So what are they fighting about then if God told him? Says the Or HaHaim. This Or HaHaim needs to be studied and memorized. Says the Or HaHaim that one suspicion of Moshe Rabbeinu was that since Moshe Rabbeinu matza hen b'nei Hashem, since Moshe Rabbeinu finds favor in the eyes of God, he's a great man, the greatest man that ever lived. So, he asked Hashem first, God, you think we should put Aharon as the Kohen Gadol? Being that Hashem loves Moshe Rabbeinu. So he told him yes. So where did it start? From Moshe. Says the Or HaHaim, that's why he said, his first words were, Bezot tede'un ki Adonai shelahan. That Hashem sent me. I didn't go to ask him. And he told me yes. The conversation didn't start with my picks. I didn't pick the contestants and say, this one, and God said yes. Hashem told me he's the one. Okay, so good. Done. Solved, right? Done. Says the Or HaHaim, but it's not over yet. Because even then they'll go against Moshe Rabbeinu. What do you mean? God told him without any request, I want Aharon to be the Kohen Gadol. What's left? He says, Or HaHaim, Kilo milibi. Because maybe you really wanted very badly that Aharon should be the Kohen Gadol. And since you wanted it so badly, that's why Hashem sent it to you. Yeah, you didn't ask. You didn't ask. But there's something else in this world called Ratzon. Hefetz. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, want it so badly that Aharon, your brother, and this cousin should be. You wanted it so badly. That's why Hashem sent you. Oh. So he said to them, No. The words, Bezot Tedeun, with this you're going to know, Ki Adonai Shelahani La'asod Et Kol HaMa'asim Ha'ele, God sent me. And I know that's not enough. He says, Ki Lo Milibi. It's another thing. There's two keys. There's two because. Ki Adonai Shelahani and Ki Lo Milibi. It didn't come because I desired all the power to my family. It's not what happened here. Ki Lo Milibi. What an unbelievable thing. That means Moshe Rabbeinu would have been able to put his brother, even if he really didn't deserve it, because he really wanted it. If the leader of the Jewish people really, really wants his brother, then that's what's going to happen, even though it's not really what God wants. That's what they came to accuse him. They came to tell Moshe, we know you don't go against God. We know that. We don't think you decided your own thing. We know that. And we know God even told you. But where did it come from? Because of your ratzon. What? My ratzon could create God's decision on a leader he doesn't really want. Yeah. Ratzon has that capability. Ratzon of a person could even be in things that are not even correct. Ratzon could be for people doing averot also. Want to hear an interesting midrash? The midrash says there was once a father and a family. He had some money, but he was an alcoholic. So every day, whenever he needed wine, he'd be selling. He sold this, he sold that, he sold his properties, he's selling his... And every day they see that their inheritance is dwindling. And they realize a few more years of this, and they're not going to have a dollar left from him. They need to solve the problem. So they decided they're going to teach him a lesson he's not going to forget. One day they got him really drunk. They took him, they carried him. They took him outside the city. And they put him in the cemetery. And they left him there for 3 days. To give him a little time to think about life and to think about the future without any kind of alcohol, to be able to get his life straightened out. They put him there for 3 days, can't get out. That's Midrash says. The Midrash says that specifically that day that he was in the Bet Kvarot, there were wine merchants that were passing, headed to the city that he was from. They had all the wine with them to go sell. And they heard some very, very shocking news that the army has come inside the city and is ransacking from the people. You know, those days, the armies would come and they take whatever they want. They want food, they want clothing, they want wine. They come, they take it. And the army, who's going to fight with them? They heard that the army came into the city and is taking all kinds of merchandise. So they said, let's check it out. So where are they going to leave all their merchandise? Best, the safest place. They put it in a cemetery. They put the wine in the cemetery. And they went to see what's going on in the city. Because they don't want their merchandise. They take it away from them. This guy wakes up in the cemetery. Can't believe it. He's got all the wines available to him. He's drinking a storm. He's great, doing great.
Thank you, Hashem.
3 days later, his children come to see him, maybe. And they see him with more wine than he ever had in his life. What does the Midrash want? What's the Midrash saying? We're telling us stories. Cute stories. Midrash is very powerful. Midrash saying that if you really want something, it could be the worst thing in the world for you. If you want it, you're going to get it. People say, listen, it must be good for me because if God didn't want me to have it, he wouldn't give it to me. No, don't think like that. It's not the way it works. If you want it, you're going to get it. It doesn't matter if it's bad for you. Don't take it as a sign from heaven that it must be good. It's because you want it. Unbelievable. So I'll just leave you off today along the same lines. Yom Kippur is coming. Gemara says that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen would go into the Holy of Holies. He spends a very short time there and he would say a very short prayer. What would he pray in the Holy of Holies? So one of the things he prayed for, he only prayed for a couple of things. One of the things he prayed for, Hashem, please don't listen to the prayers of the traveler. When the world needs rain, don't listen to his prayer. The traveler, Hazid, he's traveling. He doesn't want rain. There's no hotels in those times. People traveling in the rain, they're stuck. So he prays not to have rain, but the world needs rain. Everyone's praying for rain. This traveler is not praying for rain. Hashem's, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur says, Hashem, please don't listen to this traveler when he prays not to have rain when rain is needed. So let's think for a second. The entire world is praying for rain. And there's one traveler that's praying for no rain. Like, what's the match here? Got a million, 10 million to one guy. We need the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur in that moment where we could pray for anything to pray to knock off his prayer. His prayer is knocked off by 10 million people. But you can't compare a prayer of 10 million people that want rain to a guy who feels like it's life and death for him. The traveler, for him, rain is life and death. How is he going to survive? His tefillah comes from such a deep ratzon, such a deep desire that even against all the prayers, and even though it's not good for the world, and even though it's terrible, they'll accept his tefillah. That we need the Kohen Gadol in the holiest moment, the holiest place, to combat his prayer. That's how powerful his prayer is. Unbelievable. That's the Koach HaRatzon. This is the way Hashem runs the world. Fortunate are the people who understand the power of Ratzon like we're understanding it. I'll tell you a cute story. It was once a Hiloni, a secular Jew, who was visiting Esh HaTorah in Yerushalayim. Esh HaTorah is an organization that helps people who are completely secular to get them to connect to Judaism. So this is a secular Jew. He went there. He was there for a few weeks. And then he told him he's leaving. He's finished. He went to say shalom to the Rosh Hashiva, Rav Noah Weinberg, Alav HaShalom. Great man. Went to say goodbye to him. Rosh Hashiva asked him, why is he leaving? He didn't like the yeshiva. He didn't like what he was experiencing. Not bad. He told him, no, he liked it, but he told him, Rabbi, he's an Israeli guy. He said, I'm a world top chess player, world class chess player, and I go and I play tournaments, and there's a very big international tournament of chess in America, so I'm going. So the rabbi realized that if this guy left the yeshiva now, he's never coming back. That's the kind of situation. We're not coming back. This is the only shot. So the rabbi said, I'll make you a deal. Let's play a game of chess right now, me and you. He says, look, you know, it's expensive to travel to America. It's expensive to have your hotels. If you win, I will pay everything first class. If I win,
stay.
You stay in yeshiva. Okay. The guy's not worried at all. This is old man sitting reading books all day long.
So Irish, Joe.
And he is a world-class chess player. There's no match. He told him, okay, but how about we get a free trip? Yeah. He sits down and he plays with him chess, and the rabbi beats him.
That might beat him.
He beat him. The guy stays in yeshiva. And he becomes a Talmid Chacham.
Rabbi wanted.
And he got a little older, wiser. He went to the rabbi. He said, Rabbi, look, you don't play chess. You know, maybe he thought it was on. He's a great chess player. He said, Rabbi, you don't play chess. Why did you do that? How did you think you would win? Like, why would you even make such a thing?
So I won. Wanted.
So the rabbi told him, you're right. There was really no chance that I would win you in chess. It's not what I do.
So English.
He says, but I wanted so badly that you should stay here. And I saw such a future in you. That my Ratzon gave me the ability to beat you in chess.
Wow. Come on.
Unbelievable. The Koa of Ratzon. I'll share the last story. I'm sorry. Really, really, last story. I have to give it to you. It's a nice story. We're going to tell you. This is a real story. One time there was a young man. He's by the Kotel Maravi. And he sees a goy praying by the Kotel. Like with praying. You know, it's always interesting to see a goy praying by the Kotel Maravi. He's watching him. Oh, it's this goy is praying by the Kotel. Such an interesting sight. After he finishes praying, he sees the guy take a piece of paper out of his pocket and he puts it in the wall.
Wow.
And this kid's going crazy. He wants to know, what could this guy be putting in the wall? So he does the unthinkable. He goes by the wall as if he's putting his own paper. He puts one in, takes one out. He wants to see, what is the guy want? What is he asking for?
Bedua.
A Jew, you could assume what he wants. What does he want? What does the guy want? Takes out to the bank. This is a story going back years ago. Takes her out. He sees, it says over there. He says, God, you know I love my team, whatever team it was. He says, right now they're playing a very, very important game. A, I want them to win. And B, I really want to know what happened those days. They didn't have phones. They didn't have, I want to know what happened.
Oh, the person you work out is to work.
So please send me from up there. Send me someone that's going to tell me if they won the World Series, they lost the World. I want to know. This kid is laughing. He can't believe what a guy. You go into the Kotel Maravi and you have a request from Hashem and you're asking him to send you news of your team won or lost. That's your... He's all excited about this note. He calls his father in America. He's like, you're never going to believe what happened to me. He says, I went to the Kotel, I see this guy, I want to see what he wrote. He wants to know who won. He said, by the way, who won? So he told him who won. The guy on the note left his address. Yes. He told God, this is where I'm going to be. So if you want to send me somebody, I appreciate it. So this guy, for the laughs, he goes to the guy, the house and I found his door. So I tell you, I was sent from Shamayim. I was sent from heaven to tell you. These were the results. The guy is going crazy. He can't believe this. He gives him $200. He says, yeah, I guess so. This guy goes back to yeshiva. $200. He wants to share the whole story. He makes a whole seudah. All the boys in the night. They're all sharing the story. They're all laughing. What kind of guys? What kind of devil's guy? What are you doing? He's going to the kotel. While this is all going on, the mashgiach of the yeshiva walks in. The rabbi walks in. He said, "What's going on?" They tell him the story, and they're all laughing. He says, "You know, you guys missed the whole story. You missed the whole story. You're laughing, you're enjoying. You missed the whole book." What? He says, "Don't you see what happened here? Here's a guy that wanted so badly to hear what his team did. He's praying at the kotel. He's a goy. What's he doing at the kotel? But he's praying so badly, and he put a note in with his address. He wanted so badly to know. In those days, it was very hard to reach people. So how do you know? But he wanted so badly. Hashem sent the guy to go and get him the news that he needed." This is the koach of ratzon. When a person wants something, it could be wrong, it could be silly, it could be, it doesn't matter. You want something, you're going to be able to reach it. Baruch Allah.